Well, I brought something with me today that I wanted to show you, a little show and tell. And here it is. It's a pillow. Can you see? It's made out of this nice, cozy fleece. And it's very pink. Can you imagine how much this might be worth? What do you think? $25. Too much, someone says. Aha. Well, I have to admit, you might not be able to see from there where you are that it is used. The stuffing is getting kind of flat and a little lumpy. And, well, honestly, it probably hasn't been washed in a while. It could use a good wash. So you wouldn't see it in a store. If you saw it at a yard sale, I don't know, what would you offer? A few bucks? What's that? Oh, you're getting way ahead of me there, Paul. Of course it's priceless. You've heard the story. I told the group on Tuesday about this. If we go to the next picture, you'll see. Oh, there's no picture? Oh. Well, you won't see the picture. Somehow our PowerPoint didn't come through the way I thought it would. But if you did see a picture, you would see a picture of my mother sitting at a table with a pink vest that looked exactly this color. Because when we lost my mom just almost 6 years ago, I took the vest that she had been wearing for, I don't know, 10 or 20 years maybe. Almost, well, not every day, but many, many days. It was the thing that she wore all the time. And nobody else in the family wanted that vest. It sure wouldn't fit me. But I asked a friend to use the vest and make a pillow out of it, which she was glad to do. And it probably needs a little renewing, but like Paul said, it is priceless. It's priceless not because anybody else in the world would give it the generous value of $25, but it's priceless because of what it means to me, right? It has deep meaning for me. So, and I keep it by my favorite chair, the one I spend most time in at home. And it reminds me of my mom, and I have her with me in this way all the time. It's great. This week, Karen and I will be driving with our son and his partner for 14 hours. Ugh. To visit our daughter in Houston, B.C., 14 hours of driving. We are breaking it up into 2 days, thankfully, but even that's going to be rough. But we're going all the way up there to Houston, B.C., not just because it's beautiful, which it is, but it's because of who is there. Our daughter has been living up there for a couple of years, and we have not seen the place that she's been spending all of her time and becoming, I like to call her a bush woman. The people and the places and the activities that she's been doing for the last couple of years. So we're all going to go up, and she's excited to host us, and we're going to spend time hiking in the bush. And I think she's going to try and teach us how to shoot a rifle. That should be interesting. But it's about seeing what's important to our daughter, what has meaning for her, and that gives it meaning for us. A little later in the summer, Karen and I will be driving again to the interior to visit two places that have a lot of spiritual meaning for us. Because we have spent many weeks in those places before, over the years, with our children when they were young and without them as we all got older. It's a place of retreat and growth and learning and rest. One's on the Shuswap Lake in the little village of Sorrento. Sorrento Center is an Anglican retreat center that's we're going to spend some time having a retreat. Can you imagine me being quiet for hours at a time? And we'll also dip down after that to Naramata, which is a holy place for us, the United Church Retreat and Conference Center near Penticton. These places hold deep meaning for us because of the experiences that we've had there. And I imagine you all have places that you love to visit and go back to because of what they have meant to you in the past. Am I right about that? Can you think of those places? What are the objects or the places or activities that are especially meaningful for you? You don't have to share an example, but if you have one that you can tell us about briefly, because, you know, usually they come with stories, right? Is there one that you wanted to share? Paul? Passion. What fills you with passion? Breathing in and out.
It's hard to express. Breathing is emotional.
It is.
We choose to breathe or we breathe not.
Well, most of us don't feel like that's much of a choice, do we? But we can pay attention to it. Yeah. Thank you. Any other things that have deep meaning for us? Yeah, Sandy. Yeah. Walks in the woods, right? Oh, marvelous. That nice picture of Karen and her sisters was on a hike that I overdid it because I was still getting back from my knee surgery. But it was glorious in the woods. Oh, yeah. And something as simple as our breath can have deep meaning if we stop and pay attention. Was there somebody else that was going to share something? Family reunions, oh. And you're thinking of it because you're going to miss it this year, right? Carrie often goes to, Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, Utah to see beloved relatives, but not this summer. But those are precious, meaningful experiences. Well, think about all the people, the places, the experiences, and the objects that mean a lot to you. This is how our brains work. Our brains are wired to interpret the ordinary stuff of life in metaphorical ways, in symbolic ways, so that we can make sense of it all. We long for meaningful lives in which we are more sure about the direction of our lives and about what we are to bring to the world. We yearn for the experiences that leave us feeling more fulfilled. It doesn't matter if we're actually religious or not. All people, all of us, yearn for meaning in our lives. We need to do things that matter. We need to have people that are important to us and that we are important to them. We want to have objects and surroundings in our daily life that mean something to us. And we naturally infuse the furniture in our homes and other objects that are there with meaning because they are home. And that's one of the main reasons it's so hard to let go of those things when we move or we need to downsize or we can't take all of our things with us. Most of us have had that experience. I recently had a visit with Henry Minto and his wife Evangeline, who are moving to Langley. They've actually made their move in the past week. So we won't be seeing Henry so much now. They're moving to be a little closer to family, but it's a smaller place, and they, of course, can't take all of their beautiful furniture and things with them. And they're going to really miss their neighborhood and their friends and their church communities. Our summer series is exploring how we can cultivate more awe in our lives, and it's about making our lives more deeply meaningful. And it's not simply about admiring the beauty around us. That's a good start, but there's so much more. It's about noticing all the experiences, activities, people, places, things in our lives that give our lives meaning and engaging those things that are meaningful more intentionally. When we are on the lookout for meaning in our lives, we live at a deeper level and mere existence turns into purpose. If our slides were working, you would see a quote from Howard Thurman. This is what he says. "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." What's the point of life if it is a senseless hamster wheel of chasing pleasures and jobs and distractions? Finding meaning is discovering the mystic impetus that gives us reasons to keep living, keep exploring, keep asking, keep breathing. And to keep loving. Finding meaning brings us to the truth that we are not alone, and that the cosmic scope of creation is so much bigger than us. Experiences of awe almost always come with a sense that we are part of something bigger, something vast and complicated beyond ourselves. And awe reminds us that everything actually isn't just about us, right? But that we are part of that awesome greatness. Jesus knew that sometimes you can't describe God's reign directly because meaning is sometimes difficult to grasp if it's unfamiliar or invisible, if you can't see it. So Jesus said many times, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of God is like, right? Like a mustard seed, like bread and yeast, like a treasure hidden in a field, like a merchant, like a net, like a landowner, like so many things. These stories are the way that Jesus tried to help make meaning. He used metaphors from everyday, ordinary life. That was his way of teaching about what God desires for us as God's realm, and to show us how we can find this meaning and purpose knowledge and understanding all around us. Like the psalm says, the heavens declare the glory of God. They don't need a voice. They don't need words. The heavens themselves declare deep meaning. We have to only keep our senses open to what God has placed right in front of us. And that brings me to this table. This is the language and symbol and why ritual, like communion, can be a doorway to sacred meaning. Eating food is the most ordinary thing in the world, right? Everyone does it. We all do it. Bread and juice are such common parts of our lives. They're part of pretty much every culture in the world. But Jesus makes this most ordinary of activities with the most common of elements signs of extraordinary grace. Bread and fruit of the vine become agents of transformation and grace for us. The lighting of a candle that we do every week can offer a connection to the deep meaning of life renewed again and again, reminding us that we are never alone. We look to the tangible in order to experience the awesome mystery. Rituals and symbols help us to put frames around the mystery, not to contain them, but to engage them, to help us engage in reflective practices that make our lives more meaningful, which makes it possible for us to bear suffering and to experience great joy, satisfaction, resilience, and serenity. Friends, taste and see that God is so good, that life is so good, and we are not alone. Amen.